Hi there, this is Amanda Hale bringing you another podcast in the Reddening Path series. During COVID time, as well as writing new work, I've been revisiting previous novels, and in the case of my novels Mad Hatter and The Reddening Path, I've recorded audiobook versions, working with Mark Atkinson in the Barn Studio here on Hornby Island. As part of my promotion of these audiobooks, I've written and recorded a series of podcasts with reflections on various aspects of the books and a sharing of my research and background material. I'm a relentless researcher and always end up with more material than I can weave into a book. These podcasts provide an opportunity to delve deeper into that material. This episode, podcast number 4, is about Pamela, the central character in a coming-of-age story about a girl on a primal quest. When we meet Pamela in the first chapter of The Reddening Path, she's just awoken from a recurring nightmare in which she is the sole survivor of a massacre in a remote village in the Guatemalan highlands. This is the dream that eventually leads to the discovery of her birth mother and the knowledge that it is her mother's story that she has been dreaming. The dream comes on top of the fact that Pamela is a heartbroken 20-year-old, reeling from the end of her love affair with Talia, a Toronto girlfriend. Quote, Pamela wipes her eyes with the sleeve of her nightgown. She has classes to attend. She's a second-year student at the University of Toronto, doing a joint major in history and political science. As she showers and dresses, she tries to shake the feeling of grief sitting in her. It's only a dream. It has nothing to do with me. I wasn't even walking when I left Guatemala. As she brushes her hair, staring sadly into the mirror, the card catches her eye. A print of Georgia O'Keeffe's shamelessly petaled orchid. It looks to her now somehow predatory. She opens the thick white card yet again. My Mayan beauty, I'll never forget you. The river flows on. Don't be sad, Talia. End quote. This cliched, unfeeling, objectifying note characterizes Talia, whose love affair with Pamela was originally the centre of a sprawling novel that grew into an impossibly tangled tale with two main plots and two subplots. The overloaded work in progress was driving me crazy until my editor suggested that I was perhaps dealing with two separate novels. After strongly defensive protests, I realised that she was right. The separation of the two stories proved both wise and painless, and indeed made my life much easier as I completed and published the two novels. Hence the birth of My Sweet Curiosity, a novel in its own right, starring Talia Kulikovsky, a product of reproductive technology, a med student at the University of Toronto, and a formidable young woman intent on her own quest. The Reddening Path was published in 2007. My Sweet Curiosity followed in 2009. Pamela comments towards the end of her story that there have been no fathers in her life, only mothers. Her adoptive mothers, Hannah and Fern, pillars of the Toronto lesbian feminist community. Her birth mother, Fabiana, who she hunts for and finds living in the National Palace in Guatemala City. And Guadalupe, the girl who cared for her as a baby in the orphanage before her adoption. Pamela's story is grounded in the quest to find her birth mother, which is in itself a kind of primal love story. And in the process, she falls in love with Guadalupe, the young girl who had cared for her in the orphanage, and who she meets as an adult at the convent and former orphanage, where Guadalupe now works as a nun. Pamela senses something hauntingly familiar about Lupe. With the slow dawning of memory comes an attachment that flowers into a more mature love than Pamela had previously been capable of. This is the crux of the matter, and of many coming-of-age stories. With her first experience of heartbreak, Pamela behaves like a brat, striking out at her Toronto mothers, blaming them for her unhappiness. The nightmare of the destroyed Mayan village and the emotional shock of being dumped by Talia combine to propel her on a quest to find her birth mother. Through tears and tantrums, tolerated patiently by her mothers, she is encouraged and enabled to travel to Guatemala. Armed with an intrepid spirit of adventure, she sets off on her quest, protected by youthful naivete and blissful ignorance, mixed in with the arrogance and self-involvement that often come with privilege. Upon her arrival in Guatemala City, everything is strange, and events do not go as Pamela wishes. But she's guided by her own radar and is led stumbling into the very places where she will find the people who can give her the information she needs. In this, her first journey abroad since she was a baby, she adapts and develops the skills to survive and move forward in her quest. Here is the inevitable spoiler for those of you who have not read the book. Pamela finds her mother living in a private apartment of the National Palace with Ernesto, the man they call Generalissimo Carbonero, named for his reputation as a general in the army, responsible for the burning of many Mayan villages during the Civil War. Ernesto and Fabiana have found solace together, each a victim of that war, though on fatally unequal sides. Pamela cannot fathom their relationship and judges it harshly. After the joy of finding her mother, her quest changes into a fervent desire to take Fabiana home with her to Canada. There's a long build-up to the failure of this secondary quest, as Fabiana chooses, at the very last minute, at the airport gate, to return to the life she has happened upon and now chooses. Pamela is devastated. She's hustled onto the plane by the general's men and returns to her adoptive mother's in Toronto. More tears, but no tantrums now. She is in the process of maturing into acceptance of her birth mother's right to choose and into a sense of maturity and responsibility for her own actions and emotions. All of this leads to her reunion in Mexico with Guadalupe, the now ex-nun, with whom Pamela is in love. It is Lupe who accompanies her to Canada, not Fabiana. But Pamela has been a gadfly for change in both those women's lives. With her youthful sense of freedom and entitlement, her determination to have what she wants, and with her disregard for all the well-thought-out arguments she is given, Pamela has proven an agent of change for these two very important women in her life. Fabiana has freely chosen to return to Ernesto and live out her secret life with him. Guadalupe has gathered her courage to leave the convent and choose a new life in Canada with the girl she loves. As you may know from previous podcasts in this series, the historical subplot of The Reddening Path tells the story of Hernán Cortés and his lover and translator Malinche, each of them labeled traitors for their separate roles in the conquest of the Aztecs. Pamela has been researching and writing an academic paper about the intertwined lives of Malinche and Cortés. So she is excited to find a wall plaque in the Iglesia de Jesús Nazarín in Mexico City, where the bones of Cortés are sequestered. It is here, as she waits for her meeting with Guadalupe, that she realizes there have been no fathers in her life, only mothers. It is a significant and symbolic moment, placing Pamela firmly within her own birth culture. Only now can she return to her adopted country and live as a mature and self-realized woman. In noting the absence of a father in her life, standing before the stones that conceal the bones of Cortés, her thought is that her heritage has more to do with history than biology. The history of the Hispanic Americas is a tragic one, founded on death, destruction, and the imposition of Catholicism. Significantly, Catholic churches were built on the sites of destroyed Aztec temples in Mexico, on power points across the land, appropriating the spiritual energy gathered there. The history of Guatemala is generally considered to be the most tragic in the Americas. For the Mayan people of Guatemala, the tragedy is ongoing. On May 25th last came this news from Rights Action, my primary source of information about Guatemala. Quote, "They are still exhuming victims of U.S.-backed Guatemalan genocides and massacres 39 years later. 1975 to 85 mark the worst years of U.S.-led Cold War repression in Guatemala. The U.S.-backed Guatemalan military and economic elites planned and carried out campaigns of massacres, disappearances, and torture, and, in four regions, genocides against the mainly Mayan population of Guatemala. This entire campaign of killing and disappearing civilians was justified in the name of the war against communism in general, and specifically the fight against a very small armed insurgency, the URNG, Unidad Revolucionaria Nacional Guatemalteca, that had grown out of earlier decades of military repression against the Guatemalan population." End quote. Canada has a parallel tragedy, shockingly revealed in recent days with the exhumation of a mass grave in Kamloops, unearthing the bones of 215 Indigenous children disappeared from a residential school that operated from 1890 until 1969. These stories are rarely discovered and even more rarely told, though they are scattered across the face of this earth. I did a huge amount of academic research for The Reddening Path, but I also referenced my own multiple journeys to Guatemala and Mexico over the years, not for the beaches or tourist attractions, but for the archaeological sites, museums, villages, the more remote and untraveled the better, and encounters with both Ladinos and Indigenous peoples. On those journeys, I avoided English speakers and aligned myself with the locals, who were invariably welcoming and hospitable. Children were delighted to help me with my fractured Spanish as I learned, and were often curious about my gender in that androgynous time.
¿Eres niño o niña? They would ask.
Are you a boy or a girl? In developing the character of Pamela, I did not need to research. I simply remembered my own youthful behavior and mindset. I felt a kinship with Pamela. I too lacked a father and had chosen a lesbian identity. I remembered vividly my own adolescent struggles for identity and could only imagine how much more intense that must have been for a child like Pamela, adopted outside of her birth culture. I had left my country of birth, though under entirely different circumstances. For me, it was a choice to emigrate to Canada. I said earlier that the crux of the story is Pamela's growing maturity, attained through the facing and overcoming of life's obstacles. But within that process is another, the shifting relationship between generations, how we need and interact with each other. The gadfly youth who parents and elders are always cautioning, but nevertheless need and value for that very fearlessness and spirit of adventure they demonstrate. These youthful qualities are generally grounded in blissful ignorance. When I remember my own youth and the many times that I somehow avoided disasters of which I was unaware, I can only subscribe to the guardian angel theory. I certainly didn't listen to the cautioning of my elders. Thank you for listening. My next podcast will be about language and Catholicism, about Malinche's role as translator for the conquistadors, and about the clash between Indigenous religion and Catholicism. The audiobook of The Reddening Path is available from audible.ca, and the paperback is available from Thistledown Press, the public library, or your local indie bookstore.